This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello! You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I am just, I prepared for today's show, did my research, got all my news items, was ready to go. And then, what did I see just before coming on air? An extinct canine has been brought back to life. And they are really. Okay, they're calling this part of a project they call the Resurrection of Charismatic Megafauna. Yeah. That doesn't sound so exciting. What is it? It's a wolf. It's a wolf that has been extinct for 12,000 years. And they took a skull that they found, which happened to have an ear bone intact with lots of cells in the ear bone that hadn't been degraded, and a tooth from 15,000 years ago, and a skull from 17,000 years ago, and they managed to get enough DNA out of that to be able to figure out the unique properties between that and the gray wolf. Okay, stay with me here, because the gray wolf is this extinct animal, this dire wolf. Yeah, I did say that. Now all you people are listening, if you're a sci-fi fan, if you watch Game of Thrones, if you play Dungeons and Dragons, if you're into Magic and the Gathering or the world of witchcraft, then you know what I'm talking about. The dire wolf, for real, the big giant wolf, bigger than any wolf, and huge, huge head and white, pretty cool looking animal. Anyway, supposed to be the friend of the Starks on Game of Thrones, that animal. And I gotta say, on TV, it's not real. So the actual animal has a bigger head and bigger jaws, different sort of face and bone structure than the gray wolf, but is only a little bit bigger than the gray wolf. Still, the gray wolf's a big animal. So, no slouch on the size here. And they used to bring down bison and deer and all that. So, wow. So there's dire wolf puppies out there now. And so they did all this, and they're working on some other animals, like the dodo bird and the woolly mammoth, maybe, and other animals that have become extinct. So this, there's so much that comes out of this for me. First of all, do we want to do this? If an animal became extinct because we hunted it to death or took away its habitat, maybe we do want to do it, if we have habitat for it and food for it now. But if that's not the reason, if it became extinct because it just didn't have enough game for its size, or had a competing species, maybe a smaller wolf that was just had to eat less and survive better through times of famine. I mean, I don't know. And I don't think these scientists have really looked into it enough. But they say, this is one of those, would I lie to you? Yeah, they would. They say that this is all about wildlife reclamation, and that they're taking the lead of the conservation and the return to the wild societies that are trying to help with decimated populations, and that it's not just a freaky Jurassic Park, let's revive the cute and the scary. But we'll see. We'll see on that. All right, so I wanted to keep you informed about that. And something kind of related lately that's been going around, I noticed on Facebook, was the idea that wolves, the male and the female, that when the male or the leader of the pack is standing proudly and others are around, the female will place her entire head and neck around his throat. And this thing that was going around was explaining, wrongly I think, that that's because she's covering his most vulnerable part, like an act of protection. Now, I don't think that's it. I really don't. I think wolves are so much more complicated than that. And I do think, I notice even with my domestic dogs, that they will place their throat on your face as a gesture of trust when there's really deep connection. And also, there's a lot of dominance going on. So if I were to intentionally walk up to a dog I didn't know that well and place my face and head below his head, I am signifying that he's in charge, more than anything else. So it's an interesting misinterpretation that's going around. And yeah, I just find it fascinating. Something else that people think. People think that wolves howl at the moon, and they don't. Wolves howl together and to communicate from long distances. And they think that this new dire wolf, this prehistoric wolf, this wolf from 15,000 years ago that went extinct and has been brought back, they think it doesn't howl. So there's a lot of characteristics of this new wolf that they've brought back that we will only know later. And this is something I've touched on before. It used to be a trend. I think it was in the early 90s. I don't know. I've been doing this so long. I've been training dogs through so many trends, but I do believe it was the early 90s. Maybe this, yeah, I think so. 96, maybe. When people started adopting wolf crosses. And people thought, ooh, this will be extra mean, extra loyal, fierce. And what they got was a really timid, cagey animal. Yeah, they got a fearful dog, a dog that didn't want to go around lots of people, a dog that maybe was kind of unpredictable at the park and with small animals. And sometimes, I'd say all the time, let me just go out on a limb here, all the time, every single one I ever encountered had a drastic behavior change at around two, which is kind of normal for dogs. If you don't neuter them or spay them, then around one to two, somewhere in there, they reach full maturity. They go through puberty. They start testing their muscle and their place in the world. Okay, so they start growling at you to get you off the couch, that kind of thing. That's normal. And you get them neutered or spayed, or you train them so they don't do this. So they know their place is not to be king of the couch and lord over the food bowl and ruler of the refrigerator, right? But in wolf case, this behavior can go from docile pet to incredibly skilled hunter overnight. And if they don't change that way at two, then they most likely will at five, and then again at eight. So there's like three stages of a wolf's development that I've noticed personally in the wolf crosses and wolves I've worked with. And I used to work at the zoo with true wolves. They have these clear changes, complete changes. So I've had people call me just distraught because their wolf dog killed the neighbor's cat that the dog had always played with every day in the backyard. And then one day the cat came over and the wolf just killed it. Why did he do it? Well, because he's five now. That's the answer. So I want to just, as this gets really popular, people start looking online and they start seeing these pictures on TV and they see these white, beautiful, dire wolves and they think, oh my God, I'd love to have one. And they start Googling wolf puppies. Do not do it. If you want a really fierce, strong, confident dog that's going to be loyal to you and protect you and love you, get any dog and train it well, right? It's all there is to it. And, if you want a dog people will be afraid of, get a big one. If you don't want a big dog, but you want people to be afraid of it, get a black one. It's amazing what color does. Just because they're dark and they're kind of shady and they can't really tell what their expression is, people are more afraid of them. And they're the least likely to get adopted. Black dogs and black cats have the hardest time getting adopted because they don't look good in pictures the same way. So go for it. If you want a dog that's going to scare people, do that. All right, we're going to go to one more break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and I was watching Stephen Colbert, and as usual, he was doing his Adopt the Rescue Puppy segment, but I noticed something about his co-star that I just wanted to mention. Fellow Canadian Seth Rogen was on the show, and they were picking up the puppies and, telling their lies about them, This puppy's good at taxes. This puppy will this puppy will decorate your home. You know, all the things they usually say as they hold the rescue puppy up and they try and get it adopted. But I noticed something, and this is the first time I've noticed this with any of his guests. Every single time Seth Rogen picked up a puppy and talked about the puppy and then put the puppy down in the puppy playpen to go pick up another one, every single time he kissed the puppy on the head before he placed it in the playpen. So that's a dog lover. That is a dog lover. And I hope he'll come on my show. If you know Seth Rogen, please tell him. I'd love to have him on my show, Animal Party Pet Life Radio. We could talk about anything he wants. Absolutely. Okay, so there's been a few more things in the news, but I think we're going to switch a little bit. I don't want to talk about politics today. I'm going to talk about my dog, Blue. My dog, Blue's getting really old. And I've noticed that as he gets older, if someone were watching me and Blue, they would think very strange thoughts about me watching me try to communicate to Blue, because Blue can see, but not that well. He was born in 2011. So he's getting up there now, and he's got cataracts, and he doesn't hear that well, and he doesn't move that well. He's a rescue dog, and one of his legs had been tied to a trailer a few owners before I got him. So now in old age, that injury is showing up. Never showed up all his life, but now he's very lame on one leg, unsteady and unbalanced. But he still likes to go for off-leash walks with me, and he still likes to be treated with dignity. So I try to communicate with him without keeping him on a leash, although he likes that too. But sometimes it's fun to have him off-leash. But I end up flailing around like a cheerleader. You know, my old signal where I take my hand and I move the fingers toward me, and he would come running from an acre and a half away because he's a Blue Heeler, and Blue Heelers and Border Collies and Aussie Sheps and all those herding dogs are really visually in tune. They watch your signals and they're ready for the slightest movement. So I would just slightly move my fingers. People with me wouldn't even notice, and the dog would come flying over. So now I find myself gesturing like a cheerleader. I'm flailing and I'm waving and I'm jumping around, and eventually he sees me and he comes trotting over doing his best. But it's pretty funny. I just hope the neighbors aren't watching. As dogs age, you do have to change how you treat them. But that doesn't mean they just want to sit around and be fed. It doesn't mean fetch goes from fetch to hand him a cookie. Most of them really like to find stuff, Blue included. He loves it when, I mean, I have bananas one a day, and he likes the end of it, especially if it's bruised and overripe, which is the part I don't like, the extra sweet part. And so I'll hide that. I'll put it in a different place, and I'll make sure it makes a sound when I drop it, because it is really quite old. But for your dogs who are more capable than that, make it hard. Teach them find me, find it, find me, find the treat. Teach them that, because if they can't run and fetch, at least let them use their brain to track stuff like they would out on a long walk, you know? Let them use their brain. So I think people give up on the old pets and the old cats and the old dogs, and they shouldn't. Old cats need more of your attention than ever. They need you to brush them because they can't reach all their spots anymore. And they need you to trim their nails because they just won't do it. And they won't be out and about the same way trimming them outside if they're outdoor cats. But if they're indoor cats, they're probably going to let it slide. So you got to do it, because you don't want ingrown toenails and you don't want mats. And if your cat won't let you touch him, then you should go to my YouTube channel, because I show you how to get difficult cats to calm down and be touched. It's a slow process. You got to start slow. What you do is a little bit kind of on the fly. As you're feeding them or doing something they love, you give them a stroke and you just keep going. And at first, you only touch them where they want to be touched and the way they want to be touched. And a little bit less than they want. So you leave them wanting more always, right? A lot of people make the mistake of touching their cats more than the cat wants. So then the cat, usually because they're not gentle enough, then the cat will swat them or nip them. And they'll say to me, I don't know why he always does this. Meantime, the cat's looking at me like, I don't know why she always does this, you know? And it's like, well, just pet him less, stop. And he'll come over and rub against you and show you exactly the pressure he wants and where he wants to be pet. Do that for a while and then stop, right? That's how you get a cat to love being pet. It's so easy. You put a little bit of butter on your finger if you like, especially if your cat has hairballs, because that helps with it and they'll lick it off. And you can use a brush if they like the brush, gently where they like it. Eventually, you'll get to stroke them where they don't like it, where it needs to be done. And one thing I have that's a household remedy or a hack for this, if you've got a dog or a cat that likes to be brushed, maybe, or maybe doesn't, and has some mats behind the ears, or maybe under the tail, or maybe on the underarm areas of any of the legs, that is excruciating for them. It gets really tangled, and every time they walk, it pulls and pulls and pulls, and then it rips on the skin. So you really don't want that. So the best remedy for that is to scissor clip that hair really short. If you've got like a shaggy dog that always gets tangled in the same places, just clip it, give him a bath and clip it. But if the mats are too bad and you can't see where the hair starts and where the mat begins, clipping can cause them nicks, and then they'll be afraid. So you don't want that. So instead, while they're still dry, take a handful of cornstarch, just like you would to make gravy, the same stuff from the kitchen. Take a handful of it and rub it into that mat. Like really rub it in. Rub, 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 work it in, work it into the root of the mat where the oil is next to the skin. Rub it in, rub it in, rub it in. And then take your brush and brush the ends only a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And you will find the mat will brush right out. Or at least the beginning of it will brush out enough for you to be able to very carefully, with your glasses on and good light and someone helping, scissor clip those mats out of there. Because they're no good to anybody, those mats. So that's what I suggest for you, a little homemade remedy. And then after that, make sure that when you've got pets, puppies and kittens and new pets in your house, you're stroking them all over. You're stroking every part of them pretty much every day. Give them a little pet. Your cat shouldn't be the type that will never let you touch their tummy, or the dog that will never let you touch his ears because 7 years ago he had an ear infection. I mean, come on, get them over that just by gently touching them exactly where they like it and gradually extending it to the places maybe they don't and making it short and quick and easy and not painful. And if you do have to do something like remove mats on a dog or cat that hates it, then securing them is the way to go. You don't want to bribe. You don't want to beg. You don't want to have them bite you, nip you, claw you, escape, and make it worse the next time because then they think that's the way to survive it. You want them totally secured, even if you need helpers, totally secured. So the whole thing is very, very calm and positive. And you only let them go when they're calm and positive. And again, Deb Wolf, that expert on YouTube, will show you all that. All right, everybody, it's been a great show. And I want to talk about avian flu on a future show. So I'm booking an expert for that. And I'm going to be covering some cat topics coming up. I've got a cat expert coming on the show. So if you love cats, please send me your cat requests. You got a cat problem? Cat that won't do something you want it to do, or a cat that does something you don't want it to do, a cat that isn't being good to you or your family. You got a dog that's stubborn, or a cat that's aloof. All these things can be corrected because they're not really natural. It's just a reaction to a system that isn't working for the animal. Animals do what works, and when it works for them, they're happy and appreciative, and they want to serve you. That may be bringing you mice. It may be cuddling you when you're upset or cuddling the kid that needs it most. There's all kinds of ways they serve us, but we got to take care of them first. And it is totally conditional. So if we meet their conditions for comfort and respect, food, water, shelter, of course, but more than that, a comfortable, stress-free life, if we can do that, then they will give back so, so much to us. So, if you've got a dog or cat problem, we can fix it here on this show. Send me your problem and I will solve it. Or I'll bring on an expert who can help me solve it. All right, everybody, thanks for listening today. You've been listening to Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. Ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's talk pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.